Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
So what's the story about this fake recruit?
Blake Carringer, that's his name. David Ubben has a story from The Athletic. He's on with us right now. David, I read this, I heard about, I was receiving text messages from some friends about this, and then read your piece. It's very well done. How did this arrive at your doorstep? When was the first time you heard about the Lene Kukua of high school football recruits, that is Blake Carringer?
I think the biggest thing was I there was a local radio show around here that like kind of referenced it in passing, and I was like, well, that doesn't really make sense. How is this not a bigger deal? I was intrigued though, and that sort of kicked off the search for me. I think that was Tuesday of last week, where I was kind of digging around, and the more I dug, the more interesting it got. And then I think, Thursday, on Valentine's Day, it started to blow up a little bit. Some of that social media buzz, had turned into some aggregation on sites, but I knew there was still a lot more to the story. And so I spent basically my, last week, getting the real story of sort of how this happened, how it unraveled, and sort of who was kind of behind all this. And I think we got most of those answers.
Yeah, and give us the story, just for those who haven't read the piece, the background of how Blake Carringer, who is a real person, became to be Blake Carringer, the four-star recruit getting offers from Georgia and others.
Yeah, I mean, long story short, yeah, he if you looked at his now-deleted Twitter account, which we dug up some Google Cache images of, you would have believed that he was a 6'6", 310 guy, and he's actually, you know, somewhere between 5'5", and 5'9", and you know, between 200 and 250 pounds, which I'm told is not prototypical size for an NFL tackle. So, I mean, basically, the recruiting services just kind of didn't really double check on this. And then actually the thing that sort of incited sort of all this to unravel was a couple weeks ago, the Knoxville paper was looking at the 10 best prospects in the Knoxville area. And guess who was on that list? Mr. Carringer, who is a real person, but not 6'6", 315 pounds. And, you know, people just didn't kind of check their work, took a lot of things for granted. And this sort of, you know, kind of harmless, dumb high school joke between friends ended up turning into, I think, a pretty embarrassing black mark on the recruiting industry in general.
It's a cautionary tale for sure for the Knoxville News Sentinel, who had the story for 24/7 Sports, for Rivals.com. I want to get into that side of it, but first, I know Rusty Bradley pretty well. Hutton and I have called some of his state championship games when he was at CAK. Really good guy, really good coach, now at Grace Christian Academy. How did he get tipped off to this? Because this is a fascinating part of the story, when not just recruiting services, but actual college football coaches were deceived by this.
Yeah, so he actually didn't learn about it until a little bit into last week. I mean, the kids had done this like over Thanksgiving and a little bit of like a week or two past that. But it had kind of just been sitting there since like December. And some Syracuse fans had picked it up, so it was, you know, he was being talked about on a Syracuse message board, and they were very excited about the prospect of getting a 6'6", 310 tackle, the fans were at least. But, you know, he was probably anonymous to the actual Syracuse program. But basically, you know, Jesse Smitty, who's a reporter here in Knoxville, who runs his own little prep site, he was kind of like you guys. He'd seen Grace Christian play, and he was kind of, he's like, he felt bad because he's like, I just missed on this. How have I not noticed this kid? Or, you know, has this guy been a recent transfer in the Knoxville paper, found out about it before he did? So he called up Rusty, who he knew for, you know, a decade or so, and Rusty said, no, like, that's not, you know, your information's bad. And he insisted, no, I'm staring at the recruiting pages right now. Like, says this guy's on your team. Like, what's the deal? And so he hung up the phone and asked around and figured out that his players had kind of played this joke. And then, so he kind of knew. And then later that week, Georgia Tech called him and inquired about Blake Carringer. Jeff Collins' staff down there. And he kind of said, nah, you got the wrong guy, and kind of explained to them what happened. So just a crazy situation, and not one that, I've heard of very often.
David Ubbin is with The Athletic. He joins us on the Midday 180.
How did the scouting services that put up profile pages on this guy react to when the truth came out?
How does quietly sound? Does that sound good? I mean, they're sort of sweeping this under the rug. I mean, they do not want to talk very much publicly about it. Very little comment. I mean, I basically spent my entire Monday of this week trying to answer two questions. How did the recruiting services figure out that this was fake? And two, you know, how did they decide to delete the profile? Because Rusty Bradley did not tell the recruiting service. He told me explicitly. I didn't say anything to them. Jesse did not tell them. So how'd they figure it out? I'm guessing that they saw the Knoxville story too, and something didn't add up, or you know, but I really don't know. And I talked to a lot of people around Rivals, and they were not wanting to talk. A friend of ours who also works for The Athletic contacted a friend of his that works for Rivals, that worked there for 15, or that he'd known for 15 years. They were pretty close friends. And he told him, no comment, I can't talk about it. So this is, you know, they're taking it pretty seriously and very quietly, and not a lot of people within the companies, either one, Rivals or 24/7, know what's going on or know how this was handled. And so I think they know it's embarrassing. I think they know it can hurt their bottom line, and they've been very, very quiet about it.
So Shannon Terry, who is the original founder of Rivals, who then left Rivals, started 24/7 Sports, we've had him on the show a number of times. He is a great guest for this show. He is fiery. He's honest. He's very smart. His response on social media, which you carried in the piece, was very much mudslinging at Rivals. We wouldn't do this. We simply had someone, an intern, pick up the Rivals deal. We have a composite. We've gone and changed the composite now, not just to take someone else. 24/7 has to rate the person. But because Rivals rated them, it appeared on our site. And then you had some mudslinging coming back from the guy who's, I guess, the editor of OrangeBloods.com in the piece.
Yeah, he's the largest. Yeah, Texas is the largest site in the Rivals network. And he basically said, you know, don't pass the buck at us. Somebody had to physically enter in all that information. And nobody thought, so this kid's only offers are Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Syracuse, and Amherst College, a D3 school. Does that add up to anyone else? Like, that's the kind of thing that nobody was kind of waving their arms around that.
Well, and David, we know how competitive these sites are with each other in the recruiting game. I think part of the fascinating story of this is the feud that's kind of uncovered with this, with what Shannon Terry tweets, then what Rivals comes back with. You see the real animosity between these different sites and how they cover recruiting and how embarrassing it is for whoever's fault it is ultimately that this happened.
Yeah, I mean, basically, that it seemed like a competitive game to pass the buck, honestly. And I think that they probably both own a little bit. I mean, ultimately, you know, I'm not a huge media criticism guy because I work at media and I know that mistakes happen. I've made a few over my career. And so I don't think anybody's trying to demonize anybody. But ultimately, mistakes were made here. People took shortcuts. People didn't verify things. And that's how this slipped through the cracks. And you know, both companies, we kind of went into it a little bit in the piece, both companies have you know, put some new standards in that they hope can avoid something like this in the future. But ultimately, you know, people took a lot of things for granted, and I think it really exposed what a lot of people have thought about the recruiting service for a long time, is that you know, sometimes these rankings are based more on who's offered a kid or where a kid's committed to, and that idea of a committable or non-committable offer, that those weigh more into the rankings than any independent analysis. And I think when you have people paying for your analysis, you know, I think that makes people angry. And this story was kind of the furthest extrapolation of that fear for people. And I think that's where you kind of have some things resonate with people who are very in tune with the recruiting world.
David, I'm going to plug one more piece of yours at The Athletic while you're on here. Of course, you cover the University of Tennessee. Your story on the One Fly, We All Fly celebration and how it started and how it is a classic example. If you want to point to one thing and say, okay, this is where the NCAA gets it wrong, it may be with how Tennessee now is marketing this idea that their players came up with and they're not going to see anything from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate. I mean, that's what the NCAA, you know, sort of deals with right now is that, yeah, Tennessee has this thing. Tennessee, you know, when I wrote the piece, they're number one team in the country. They've started this trend that's, you know, blown up on social media. You see teams all over the place, from women's basketball to high school to other college teams to the NBA at all levels of basketball duplicating this. They started this trend. And so Tennessee has a shirt that has three, you know, faceless silhouettes on that says, you know, one fly, we all fly. It's sort of an unofficial slogan of this team that Admiral Schofield's been saying a few years, and it's sort of been personified by this pregame dunk tradition. And they're selling these shirts for $26, $32 for the long sleeve version. And the players aren't going to get any of that, but it's their, you know, fake bodies that are on the t-shirt. It's their catchphrase that they came up with. It's their team that's marketable. And I think, you know, people want to talk about the Johnny Manziels of the world or the Zion Williamsons of the world. Don't feel sorry for those guys. They're just having to wait a couple of years before they get their, you know, $10-15 million checks. They're just having to wait a little bit. The guys that you feel sorry for are the guys on this team who are never going to be more valuable or more marketable than they are right now. Not everybody on this Tennessee team is going to play in the NBA. There might not be anybody on this team who plays a lengthy time in the NBA. But right now, they're very popular, and they're very marketable, and there's a huge fan base here, and players can't capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. They have no way of making that money. And this, for most of this team, I think, is the most that they'd ever be able to make off of that, and it's just a shame. I don't think there's ever been, you know, at least right now, a better case for players being able to capitalize on that, and it's just, I do think when you look at, you know, modern college sports and how it's set up, that there's so much money being made off of these kids, and they have no way of making that. And people want to say, oh, well, they're getting a free education. I didn't earn that. Okay, well, that's fine, but, like, that's not their market value. It's very clear it's not their market value, and I think it's a very clear case that college sports, as currently constructed, especially at the big-time level where there's literally billions of dollars being made off of unpaid labor, it's immoral. And I think this situation and that shirt specifically is the most perfect example of where college sports have gone wrong right now, where there's just money being made off of every facet of these kids, and they get, you know, some free gear and an education, and that's great. That's not the one saying they don't get anything, but if you want to argue that they are getting paid their clear market value, it's ludicrous. It's just not true.
You can follow David on Twitter at David Ubben, and you can read the piece at The Athletic. David, thank you so much for the time. We enjoyed it, and we'll do it again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. I'll step off my soapbox now.
Okay. No, that was good.
Right.
We put you up on that soapbox, so it's fine.
Thanks, guys.
Join our active roster and be part of Team Hutton 104.5 and help the fight to end blood cancer. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Tennessee Man and Woman of the Year campaign is the nonprofit's largest annual fundraiser, and all funds raised provide life-saving blood cancer research. Just visit 1045thezone.com and make a tax-deductible donation. Plus, check out Hutton's event calendar, special giveaways, and more. The campaign runs through April 27th, so please donate. Donate now. Make someday today, because beating cancer is in our blood. More info at 1045thezone.com.